This is The Heat Source, the podcast where we learn everything we can about hot sauce, one bottle at a time. We are your hosts, Mike and Matt, and today we're trying Hamigos Hot Sauce, the El Clasico. Let's heat up. Back to The Heat Source, where we learn about new sauces weekly, one bottle at a time. Today we are doing as we've kind of promised this a few episodes in a row, where we're like, we need to start trying new brands. And we've talked about, we have a lot of brands to still just deep dive into. And we're finally doing it the week after Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving, Mike. Hamigos Hot Sauce, their El Clasico. I'm sure I could pronounce that better. There's the little item over the A, but Hamigos Hot Sauce, based out of Houston. We'll get into more of the history of the sauce here. But we have three sauces from Hamigos, but we're going to be trying their El Clasico. It seemed like that's the one you start with.
Yeah.
I mean, when one is called El Clasico.
Yeah.
And it's a habanero-based hot sauce, I think. Yeah, all three of them are habanero-based hot sauces.
Mm-hmm.
So, which will be fun to see the range of heat, because I noticed that this they rate as a 4 out of 5 flames. Well, they have another one that's a 2 out of 5, another that's 3, and having that range of heat from one pepper is always interesting.
Yeah.
So before we get into that, though, before we get into the history of the sauce, and we're going to try the sauce, and we're going to talk about a bunch of fun things, we have a few games that we play, and I hope you're ready. You've gotten some time. You got the holiday to kind of, like, clear your mind of, you know, and focus on hot sauce versus NBA player.
Quite the opposite this year, but yeah.
I mean, I don't know what else you'd be doing, but we're gonna go with, listen to the words, Joe Polo. He was not the inventor of Marco Polo or Polo water polo.
I'm gonna go hot sauce maker, but my gut tells me NBA player.
So you're starting after the Thanksgiving holiday. You're starting out well.
Nice.
So here's a little bit. This is a little history inside of an episode of, we're going to do the history of Hamigos. This is a little history on another sauce that I don't think we're going to try on the pod. Not that they're bad, but, I mean, kind of. Joe Polo founded a company called Original Juan with Christine Polo, him and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
After Joe passed, they sold the company to Scott Morse, who owned a business. Basically, his business bought out Original Juan, which then turned it into Spicin Foods, S-P-I-C-I-N Foods. Do you want to know what sauce they make, which is why I went into who's the founder of this brand? What? One of the more popular sauces that people don't want to try.
One of the more popular ones that people don't want to try.
Mm-hmm. You would have to be beyond insanity to try this.
Oh, insanity sauce?
Da Bomb. Da Bomb Beyond Insanity.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So I was like, who founded, who makes Da Bomb? And they're like, oh, Spicin Foods. I'm like, who did that? And I went back from there.
Right.
And yeah. So okay. There you go. That's the one where I'm like, we could try it. If we had fans clamoring for us to try it,
yeah,
I would try it.
Right.
I mean, we tried, after Mommy Sauce, like, I know things will be worse than Mommy Sauce, but after that one, I'm like, everything's worth a try.
Yeah.
As long as it's technically a sauce.
Yeah. I've heard it tastes like garbage.
Oh, it's the solid. Every lineup of hot ones since it started showing up, which I might have been there in the first season, they Sean Evans is like, it's never going away. You know, mm-hmm. The celebrities might ask us to, the fans might ask us to change it up. It's never going away because it's hot. It sucks. Like Charlize Theron was like flipping it off, just saying like, you know, F you, man.
Yeah.
But it's just a staple.
Yeah.
So.
No, I'd give it a shot. I would find it hard to believe it's hotter than some.
I think it's like, just, it's hot, but also doesn't have, like, sounds like it has a bad aftertaste.
Okay.
That's what, I mean, I'd have to break down every celebrity's, like, take on
that
it.
That makes me want to try it even more. Because I'm always curious, like, what's your interpretation of bad?
Because when I read about the sauce, the description on, like, their site makes you think, oh, it might not be that bad. Like, oh, just Chipotle and smoky and...
Yeah. But then, well, no one's going to be like, hey, try our sauce. It's really hot and it tastes like garbage.
It's got that beautiful aftertaste of battery acid. like we found some batteries that, you know, had blown up in a remote control that happened to me yesterday, and then we just threw them in the pot. So try to see what would happen.
God, that's like the lemonade you get from the toasted pickle, that restaurant in Grand Haven.
Oh, jeez, I've never been there.
It's a good lemonade, but you got to water it down, or else it's like drinking a 9-volt battery.
The other game that we play is, and it's not really a game, it's just compiling a list. It's for research. It's for science purposes. So if anyone's ever in, mostly in the Michigan area, because it's some of them are regional, but if you're like, hey, I really want to go to Subway, and then someone's like, no. There are so many better options than Subway. You have this list now, so Mike's going to tell us, what's another place better to go to than Subway?
Pizza Hut. Is that would you consider that fast food? Because we got one last night, and the order was done in minutes.
So here's, I will allow it to be fast food because you can order it. Yeah, you can like call ahead and it's ready in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Or if you did go there, I don't think they do hot and ready, but like it's more fast. That's a pizza place that I would call it more fast food than sit down.
Yeah.
There's sit down pizza places where you're like, this is nice.
Right.
Pizza Hut, I don't mind pizza. I haven't done Pizza Hut in like a year.
Yeah.
Probably. Because I'm a diehard Little Caesars stan, and
I like fresh Little Caesars.
I like the asterisk fresh.
Yeah,
it is important.
But I think that's a great pizza. I don't know if they've redone something recently, but their breadsticks and their pizza is really great. We just do pepperoni, sausage, and jalapenos.
Ooh, last time we did Pizza Hut, we did a barbecue chicken pizza with jalapenos and red onion.
Oof.
Really good.
Yeah.
Somebody ate it thinking that it was green olives. And I'm like, why would I put green olives on a barbecue pizza, weirdo? It's like, I don't know. But then he's like, this is so hot. This is so hot. I can't handle it. And then he had like 3 slices. Because it's great.
Yeah.
That jalapeno, the spice with the barbecue.
Yeah. We went, remember I sent you a photo long time ago. I was like, oh, look at this power pole. Like how messy it is.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, oh, that's in the back parking lot of this town in Michigan. I'm like, how on earth did you know that?
I was very proud of myself.
There's a pizza joint right next to it, and they have, it's just one of those mom and pop pizza shops where you can get as many toppings as you want on it.
Yeah.
My dad got a custom pizza. He's like, I'll do all the toppings on it. And they're like, well, we have everything but anchovies. And he was just like devastated. I'm like, you're getting like 13 things on there. And like they said, we don't have one. And he was just like, he wasn't throwing a tantrum, but you could tell he just quieted down. And it's just like, was affected by
it. The anchovies really tie it all together.
They do.
It's kind of like that little finishing salt.
Yeah,
you know,
like right.
Finishing salt on top.
Oh, one thing. I'm very anti-pineapple on pizza.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to, I think it was Joe Rogan and Elon Musk. They were talking about how...
Future guests of the podcast. Yeah, go ahead.
Yep. Joe said his favorite pizza, I think he said, was pineapple and anchovies.
I get it.
With double everything.
Sweet and salty.
I would try that.
I've done pineapple and green olive before. Someone ordered that. I'm like, I'm curious. They're like sweet and salty. I'm like, okay.
We should get a pineapple argument. And anchovy pizza.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
I would. I wonder if Urban Fire does anchovy. I did that spicy pizza last week from Urban Fire.
That looked really good.
Oh, it was good. I wish I did more spice. There was a guy behind us waiting to order, and I did the order, and I just heard from the side, I just heard, oh, damn, I'm going to have to get that. And I'm like, thank you. Thank you. Yep. And it also guarantees I get my whole pizza. My kids don't like any toppings. Also, one quick tangent, short one, before as I'm getting this bottle ready to open. My oldest daughter just told me one of the things she doesn't like, and I think you'll appreciate it. She hates beans.
Good for her.
I'm like, you just made a friend.
She's going to do fine.
She's going to do so well. I forget what the topic was, but she was just like, yeah, no, beans, gross. I'm like, all beans?
She have like an incident?
No, just it does. She's a bit of a picky eater, so it's not unusual to not like beans.
Yeah.
But
well, that's good.
But yeah, she has ventured more into like, she tried Flamin' Hot Doritos. So that was a big accomplishment for her. I'm sitting there going like, they're not super hot, but it was Flamin' Hot Cool Ranch. So she started with the good ones.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she's working away. She's trying to test her limits.
Nice.
I need to like start a line of very minimal hot sauces where it's like, hey, here's like 5 sauces. And then one is like no heat whatsoever, but we call it hot sauce to get you like on board.
Yeah.
And then like by the 5th one, you're dealing with middle jalapeno,
yeah.
Like very low,
mm-hmm.
Like maybe not even that. Start a starter pack for kids.
Yeah. our 7 month old, she's like skipped baby food and gone straight to people food.
And scotch bonnets. She skipped jalapenos. I'm tempted. Right to scotch bonnet.
I was having that ginger scotch bonnet the other night.
So good.
And I was like, gosh, there's no way she wouldn't eat this. I didn't do it.
Yeah. I mean,
but she has not, like, we give her food just off our plate.
Yeah.
She has never once rejected anything. She will aggressively consume all like adult people food.
Yeah.
We give her, you know, small soft things. We're not giving her, you know, anything hard to chew on, but if she sees we're eating, she won't touch her bottle. She's like cut her bottles in half because she's like, "Well, I just want people food now." And she's 7 months old where yeah. I'm like, "Gosh, you could probably do start to
sure.
take on some mild hot sauces."
I mean, that's exciting because then it's like, "All right, well, you're clearly on board for, you know, yeah. that next level."
And I know she's okay with spice because we've done like we put a lot of red pepper in things.
Yeah.
We had like a tortellini soup, which is actually, to most people, it would probably be pretty spicy.
Okay.
And she wolfed that down. I mean, she didn't even hesitate with that.
I don't know if you saw yesterday, I did steak again because I can't stop eating steak right now. I made a chimichurri,
mm-hmm.
and I used Grand Traverse Sauce Company made a, they call it unicorn dust. It was like red pepper flakes, but it was guajillo pepper and serrano pepper dried.
Ooh.
And I put that in the chimichurri. It was really good. Nice. The only problem was it's raw garlic and I just kind of like rough chopped it.
Mm-hmm.
It that had a bite.
Yeah.
And it's only going to get stronger.
Yeah. If you get garlic, I've noticed like when it starts to sprout and you get the green in the garlic,
mm-hmm.
you're in for a ride when you get that yeah. stuff.
All right. We're going to open the seal. There is perforation. So I have somewhat hopes. I'm going to start from the bottom. This is my new method that I almost abandoned immediately here. Let's try it out. Very subtle, but it did work. It did work. So this has a bit of a paler color. It's got a nice kind of golden orange color, good consistency to it. The ingredients that they list, habanero peppers, vinegar, salt, xanthan gum, granulated garlic, and oregano. Oregano is that extra little something in there. That smells really good. So with these sauces, especially with this one, I'm not expecting like there's some sauces where you see a lot of ingredients, you see a lot of crazy ingredients. I'm expecting this to be one of those like more universal sauces. That's just my guess. Now watch, we're gonna try and be like this only goes on fish, but it just smells. You've got that strong vinegar, you've got the pepper. I smell the oregano.
So that El Camino, my favorite hot sauce of all time.
Mm-hmm.
It lists the ingredients, but it just says spices in there.
Yeah.
And I could never pinpoint what the spices were. But now that I smell the oregano in there.
You think oregano's in there?
Yes.
Okay.
You just unlocked, like, the secret for me.
The El Camino is, just as a quick note, I think we've talked about it before, where it's the sauce that you love that's from Muskegon.
Yep.
That is no longer being made.
Nope.
And it does have its place, though. In
immortality
in Vic's collection, the largest hot sauce collection known to man. We gave one to Vic at the Illinois Hot Sauce Show. So
that was one of the harder things I've ever done because I'm like, I know there's only three.
I'm like, I have a bottle too. You can have mine if you need to.
There's only three left in existence. I found these in the back of they were literally in the back shelf at a family fair, which is like a local grocery store.
Yep.
And like they were dusty. I had to wipe the dust off of them. And I'm like, oh, sweet. And they were like expired in the back. Ended up finding those, bought them. Last three in existence.
This is an interestingly smooth consistency. Like I was expecting it to be more watery, but it actually pours. I think of, what does it remind me of? It's the, not the sweet and sour sauce from like an Asian place, but like sometimes you get the packet of sweet and sour that has a little more.
Yeah, like it's a smooth,
somewhere half
viscous.
Between watery and syrupy.
Yeah.
All right, let's give this a try. Good kick of heat.
It's very bright.
Very bright. Strong vinegar.
Man, that's good.
It does note on their website that it talks about that heat and citrus from the habanero. It does have a bit of a citrusy element, even though there's no citrus specifically in it. But it does have a good kick. It is a strong initial sauce.
That's good.
I could see you just eating that with tortilla chips.
Mm-hmm. That one hits me right. I love I love like acidic, citrusy, vinegary. And again, I know there's no citrus in it, but like the fruitiness in it with the vinegar gives you that lemon or lime zing that you would normally get.
And I know that there's some people will kind of criticize strong vinegar sauces. There's a reason we all were kind of raised on them.
Mm-hmm.
It works. It yeah. does well. It is can be one note if you do. I pick on Tabasco because you're more of a fan of Tabasco than I am. They're green Tabasco I know you like. But Tabasco for me, it's just like a lot of vinegar and salt, not as much there. I did just mention yesterday on an Instagram post about how much I love Louisiana's original, even though I hardly use it anymore because there's so many other yeah. options. But that extra, that vinegar, sometimes it just works. I would see this as a really good marinade. I would put marinade chicken in this.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing I thought of. Really, any type of chicken dish would be really good with that. Let's see what their website says. They say everything.
Yep.
It's a very universal sauce. It's not surprising.
Even though it does have that kind of fruity brightness to it,
mm-hmm.
it would go great on just straight up savory dishes.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. So we're going to do a little bit of a background. This is a newer sauce. There's not as much background history to go in on this company as others might be. So this will be kind of short, but we also have some fun facts that I'm very excited. My fun fact could be a good one or it could fall flat for you, but I feel really proud of it regardless.
It's funny you said that because I kind of feel the same way about mine where I'm not expecting to blow you away with this.
Okay.
I just think it's really neat.
Yeah, I had a couple of ways I could have gone, but the nice thing with the minimal ingredients, it's harder for me to do the traditional Matt thing of, well, here's an interesting ingredient, let's go. So I went a bit off script. But, so this is a Houston-based hot sauce company, but they started back in 2022. Their Instagram started posting in October of 2022. The founder is Benjamin Jacob. He, honestly, the sauce, I told you that, like, it was a little bit hard to find who the owner was because he really puts the sauce on the forefront. I mean, if you look at the Instagram, very good photos and posts and focusing on the sauce, the brand, the flavors. They have these three flavors plus two new ones that came out more recently. But the owner is Benjamin Jacob. The way that I found out, interestingly enough, because in their Instagram, in their tagged section, he had his hot sauce bottles as the replacement for the little seat card or the little cards that you get at the wedding to know where you're sitting.
Yeah.
He had bottles of hot sauce with the label, with the name and the seat.
That's cool.
And you get to bring that home. And I'm like, well, that's what I want at every one of these now. Like right. if I don't get to take the seat card home to put on tacos, I don't want it.
Yeah. I've seen that become more popular. We were at one of Courtney's friends. And she's like, oh, I was at a wedding in Florida. Tried this hot sauce. That was their thing is they wanted you know, a wedding-themed hot sauce for their wedding that they made.
Mm-hmm.
And they did the same thing with, the name and place card on it. So,
but, yeah, so the story about the sauce, it's on the bottle. It's on the website. It's even people that have reviewed the sauce have put the story almost verbatim. So the story starts at a small fishing village in Mexico where our experience of local flavors brought us to a pepper farm on the edge of the jungle. There we met Mrs. Campos, who had been running the farm for over 25 years and with her own organically grown habanero peppers made a true authentic artisan style habanero sauce. During our visit, we bonded over our love of hot sauce. She entrusted us with the recipes that she perfected over her lifetime and asked us to share them with the world. You will love these unique sauces as much as we do.
This
was
really
from a journey out to Mexico. And it would make sense if you have someone that's been growing peppers for 25 plus years, find out what sauce they're making.
Yeah.
That makes total sense.
Right.
Because that's kind of my dad used to at our church. He would talk to these, you know, families, especially like these, you know, older parishioners and be like, hey, this recipe that you make is great. I want, you know, can you share it with me? Oh no, it's a family recipe. Like, oh, did you pass it to your kids? Oh, I don't have kids or no, they don't cook. And he's like, so it's a family recipe that you're holding on to, but you're not passing it down to your family. You've not written it down.
Yeah.
It's not going to last the test of time. So he got a lot of recipes kind of by explaining that of, I understand if you pass it on to the next generation, but like if it stops with you, it's done. It's gone.
Right. So give it to me.
So give it to me. he
it's
definitely
a good idea.
Positioned it in a good way.
That is really neat though that they were able to you know, get in a situation like that where it's sounds like it wouldn't have made it past that had they not done that.
Yeah.
Which I really like this. I'm grateful for that one.
Having three sauces all habanero based, like it's fun to see the variations of what you can do with it. So it's not just, oh, habanero, it's he has a mango habanero, but that's one that you see a lot of.
Yeah.
And they're all very different, but no, I really like the man this the vinegar of this just cuts where I just feel like it's gonna like this would be a salad dressing.
Yeah.
Just throw this on a salad.
Right.
So they also work with a nonprofit called Planet Forward. It's a nonprofit whose mission is to empower refugees to develop sustainable urban farming business that produce fresh, healthy food for multiple communities throughout the Houston. So they are a part of the Farm Share program there. So their sauces are part of the packs you get, which they said over 20 pickup locations, over 30 zip codes in Houston.
Nice.
Houston's a big – that's a big town to be doing a Farm Share. So
right.
That coverage makes a lot of sense. So the other thing I found really fun, so they sponsored a team this year for the local lacrosse club. So they sponsor the Chupacabras. The jerseys look sick. I'm like,
did you go into Chupacabras for your fun fact?
No, I should have, but it looked really cool. I was like, man, I'm like, I want to sponsor a team. We got to figure out what's the lowest level we can sponsor something with the Heat Source without like breaking the bank.
Probably cornhole.
Cornhole's getting pretty big. Just start making our own.
If you have satellite with ESPN6.
Yeah. Dude, some of those, like, those guys are impressive.
Did you see the guy with no arms and no legs? Just absolutely yes. Draining cornhole?
I did see that. It was you're fully, like, some of the athletes with cornhole, I'm like, okay, you're throwing a cornhole. It's not that athletic. That is, to me, so athletic because it's full body. It's you're using everything to accomplish that.
Yeah.
There's a new female volleyball league that's starting next month in they're gonna be at Van Andel. So it's like pretty it's like professional volleyball. Where I was gonna get my daughter tickets for Christmas. Don't listen to this episode, please. And I was like, could we get like a logo somewhere? Like
that'd
not in
cool.
The jersey,
yeah.
But like at the event in some
that'd
way.
Be awesome.
I mean, I don't want to discredit professional volleyball, but it's like of the major sports.
It's also Grand Rapids. Like
it's also the least likely. It's of all the sports that are at Van Andel.
Yeah,
it's the least like it's the most likely to have the most reasonable, like sponsorship.
Yeah,
thing. So, but no, the Grand Rapids Rise. They're a Phoenix.
Really?
Looks cool.
I had not heard about this. This is awesome. I love volleyball.
Since minor league basketball tickets are like $30 for like four or five rows from the court,
yeah.
I gotta think that they're gonna be pretty reasonable.
Right.
I did get a Black Friday 50% off deal.
Nice.
So it's $16 for seats.
I smell some Groupons coming.
Yeah. Also, so another thing they did in September of this year, they collaborated with Modern Vintage to make a Bloody Mary sauce using one of their hot sauces.
Ooh.
So I thought that was pretty interesting. They're doing some collaborations there. And in this year's Hot Sauce Guide March Madness, so Hot Sauce Guide does reviews on his Instagram. Every March, they do a March Madness bracket. They did 2 years ago, they did it at the Albuquerque Fiery Food Show. This year, they had it a month late, but they did a matchup. Hamigo El Clasico was in that matchup, but it went up against Roddy from Falla's La Muerte. And sadly, it lost.
Way to go, Roddy.
I know. Roddy, you know, he's been in the bracket before. He's, you know, he's done it all, and he's just no regrets, just taking names, kicking butt, taking names. But it was close. Mark from Hot Sauce Guy did vote for Hamigos, but the other two voted for La Muerte.
Okay.
So it was not a unanimous decision. But yes, they really liked it. They did comment where, like, the consistency, like, had more of a, not syrupy, but just a little bit smoother consistency than what they were expecting. But, I mean, that's really the brand. It's not... There's not a whole lot to go into, but so that's the brand. We're going to get into, man, this is really good sauce. I'm trying to think of what else to put it on. Like it is a pretty universal sauce. I could see this on a breakfast burrito. A
lot of tacos.
Really brighten it up. A lot of tacos. It's a, you know, a lot of the tacos, the Mexican food that I think of a lot more tomato-y based sauces.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, or smokier or things like that, but like you said, bright, citrusy. It has that sharpness of the vinegar. You've got the oregano that's coming in there that is really doing kind of subtle work. And it's really the habanero pepper. It's a spotlighted habanero sauce.
Yeah. I like that you get the heat from that habanero. But there are some, like, if you've eaten a raw habanero, like, it's very hot. Like, it's uncomfortable hot, like, if you just eat a raw one. Where I like the flavor of it. I like the heat that it produces. But this is, like, you're getting that heat, but it's very controlled. You know, you're not just like, okay, where's the milk?
Exactly. So,
and it, just to confirm, it 100% is oregano.
Yeah.
In the El Camino.
Yeah. Interesting.
I'm going to crack the code on that one. I feel like, oh gosh, is it Alan Turing from the Enigma?
Enigma? Imitation Game?
The Imitation Game?
Yeah.
I feel like Alan Turing trying to crack the code on that hot sauce all the time. Every time I eat it, I'm like, what is in there? I need to find out what is in there.
So who wants to go first with their fact?
I'll go first with mine. So I looked up El Clasico, but I looked up the American version of it. It was just, what are the most classic American things out there? And I would say pretty overwhelmingly, any list you look at, and there's not a specific list of classic things. There's a list of, you know.
Can I say what I think of when I think of classic?
Yes.
So I think of two things.
I know what you're going to say. Music and cars.
50%.
Ah.
So classic music would have made more sense. Cars, and for some reason, Coca-Cola. Don't they like Coca-Cola Classic? Wasn't that a thing?
I think so. Is that the one that's just made with cane sugar?
Maybe. Or cocaine.
Oh, yeah. That's actually what it was.
cane sugar or no sugar, one of the two.
No.
Jeez.
That's anyway, funny.
But yeah, those are the two things I think of with classic. I don't know why, but music makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But so where did you go?
Apple pie.
Classic.
Classic. Yep. That's, I would say if you told someone apple pie in America, I would say if you asked them to use three adjectives to describe that, they'd probably land on classic.
Fun fact, Angela does not like apple pie. She doesn't like cooked apples. So
I was
going to
say, has she tried it?
She doesn't like cooked apples, okay. Is the problem.
That's fair. I could see, like, kind of being a texture thing, but you add so much, like, sugar and cinnamon to it.
Considering she doesn't like mushrooms for the texture, cooked apples, not the same texture, but also is that softened.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Kind of mushier.
Shrimp, same thing, too. Shrimp.
Courtney doesn't like shrimp. She likes the flavor of it, but for her, it's, like, the crunch that you get.
So if there was
that.
A shrimp dip that, like, it grounded up, so you have the flavor, would that work?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, she's not like, oh my God, I love the flavor. Like, she's had some shrimp, like really fresh shrimp she likes.
I had a Bang Bang shrimp dip that was really good.
Oh, that does sound good.
Anyway, apple pie. I love apple pie.
So I think we've actually covered it before. Apple pie is actually not very American at all. Apples are not native to the Americas.
Apples are a weird.
Yeah. I don't think anyone actually knows where apples come from. They're just kind of part of evolutionary history where it's just they're always kind of there wherever people are.
Apples are the most, I don't know how to say this, are the most diverse fruit because they have to cross-pollinate with so many different things where it's like.
There's like hundreds of varieties.
Yeah.
I can name like four of them.
I can name four that I saw yesterday when I went to try to figure out which ones I was going to buy. Just one with classic Gala.
No. Wait, hold on. Oh, I was thinking Red Delicious.
No, God, no.
The joke of apples.
Red Delicious. Red Delicious is actually the label. They named it sarcastically, but no one's picked up on the joke. I mean, once you eat it, you get it.
You might bleep this out. Red Delicious is the trough of hot sauces.
Is the trough of apples?
Trough of apples.
Great marketing. Less substance.
They're always there.
Great marketing. They got a great name.
You go to any cafeteria, it's Red Delicious.
Red Delicious got the Instagram handle apples.
Yeah. You eat it and you're like, and God, there's so many better things out there. Essentially everything. You can cut this whole part out. I understand.
This is fun. Red Delicious got the Instagram handle Red Delicious. And they're like, this is great. Let's just do everything classic, everything like red, delicious food and like what's red hot, all this stuff. And then they're like, we should do apples.
Yeah.
I like that. No, I'm okay with this.
Oh, that's funny.
Great marketing.
Yep.
They've done a lot.
Yep. They got that handle and they just ran with it.
We both tried their sauce. We've not reviewed it on the pod because we don't feel the need. We don't feel the need that they really need us to contribute to their.
What if we accidentally just brought them down? We actually have this massive underground following.
You're talking about like, what if we brought them down massively? I was like, oh, like one day they're like, huh, our likes are down by 2%. And that was it. Us kicking the side of a skyscraper. Anyway.
I had a buddy. Hold on. You said that. I had a buddy in high school or in middle school. He, you know, like when people snap pennies or something, you can make them buzz across the room. He did that, and the penny hit the side of like a pillar in our middle school, which it was like this giant pillar.
Yeah.
The janitor literally pointed at him. He's like, you're coming with me. Took him to the principal's office, and they lectured him on the erosion of items hitting pillars over time.
Like, when you're 75, this thing's like, going to be rough.
He's like, I had to sit through, and this is a middle schooler telling me this. He's like, I had to sit through like 30 minutes of these two guys telling me that if I keep doing that, pennies will erode the school and it will collapse on all of us. And it was like a brand new middle school.
They're like, we got nothing else.
Yeah.
We have no other recourse.
So I never actually got to what I was referring to.
Yeah, apple pie.
So pretty much nothing about apple pie is American.
Yep.
It all comes from a compilation of different countries and empires throughout history, going back to the 1390s. And when people say it's as American as apple pie, John Lendorf of the American Pie Food Council explained, when you say that something is as American as apple pie, what you're really saying is that the item came to this country from elsewhere and was transformed into a distinctly American experience. Essentially, the apple pie is a representation of the people that brought it there.
Okay.
Where it's like kind of a melting pot came together and kind of established their own thing, and it's just a...
I don't know why I thought of this first, Chinese food. Yeah. Chinese food is... They took their culture and Americanized it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I just thought that was interesting of it's not American ingredients. It's not, these are American apples. This is American pie crust. This is all these different items that came together to become its own thing.
I thought you were going to say... American as apple pie is actually a dig that no one picked up on the joke. So if you're like, oh yeah, there's American as apple pie, and it's like, they're from El Salvador. Why are you saying that? Like, it's actually a dig. It's not actually.
No, it's apparently a compliment. So
also, this is just a random tangent. I just thought of this because it was happened on Instagram yesterday. So I made the reel making fun of people choosing ketchup over hot sauce.
Yeah.
And Drunk Chick hot sauce, Drunk Chick Craft hot sauces put a comment on there and said, well, you've clearly never had our German style ketchup. And I was like, I did see a post by you this weekend of German style ketchup. And I was like, well, I need to know what that is.
Right.
Because like ketchup by itself, not interested. We have a ghost ketchup here. I'm interested in trying it, seeing what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be better than hot sauce? I doubt it.
Yeah.
Is it going to be better than ketchup? Sure. But
that's
German style ketchup.
I'm trying to think of what that would be. I'm trying to think of like
German mustard.
That's what I was thinking, like German mustard.
Just a bunch of beer in it? Yeah, so I thought that was interesting where I'm like, okay, German style, bringing that flair to it. I also saw at the store yesterday, Heinz ketchup had a jalapeno ketchup, a habanero ketchup, and one other pepper ketchup.
Really?
And I was thrown off.
That is weird.
I don't trust that it's going to be good.
Yeah.
It might just be pepper mash. It might just be like powder in it. I
admittedly like ketchup, so I really want to try it. Actually.
We're raised on ketchup. So like I get there's an affinity for it. I also had a sweet pickle habanero potato chip made by Meyer brand. Not an ounce of heat.
Yeah.
It tasted like salt and vinegar, like sweet salt and vinegar. It was very good.
Yeah.
Not an ounce of heat. I'm like, I like that there's more spicy things. I don't like that there's not more spicy things leaning into it.
Yeah.
Like the heat more.
Right.
Like, I get it. You don't want to like burn out. It's kind of like when fast food comes out with something spicy, they're like, well, it's not very hot. Well, they want everyone to try it.
Yeah. I was having a bad day a couple weeks ago and I went and got Burger King. And the...
that improves it.
Yeah.
That fixes it.
the chicken fries. They have like ghost pepper chicken fries. Actually really hot. That's probably the hottest fast food item I've ever had.
They do Burger King somehow cares a lot and doesn't care at all. Where they're like, we want to try everything we can. We want to do as many different recipes as we can. They're like, well, isn't this a little too hot? Ah, screw it.
Yeah.
Like they don't care. What was the, I told you, they're doing halvesies now.
Yeah.
You it's like, give me halvesies. Half fries, half onion rings.
Yeah. It's actually genius. A really good idea.
Yeah. 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 It's that's like, hilarious. Why wouldn't you? It's not that hard to mix them. Anyway, that's a good fact. I was also, as we were talking about it, I was also thinking, oh, I should have looked into the history of like when someone says like, huh, classic, where that started.
Yeah.
Because I said that, I'm like, where did that come from?
Right.
Don't know. So what do you think I went with on mine?
Well, I thought you went with chupacabras.
That would have been great. But also, I feel like that would have been cheating because it's like, hey, I did research and got this extra information, so I have more ways to go.
Yeah. Well, since you mentioned cheating, I'm going to say that you went with the Three Amigos with Steve Martin.
Because you saw it on the sheet?
I saw a flash of the Three Amigos, and I was like, was that his fact?
Yes.
Okay.
So, Amigos, the first thing I thought of, and I always think of, is the Three Amigos with Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Chevy Chase.
Yeah. I know what it is, but I've never seen it.
It is. You should watch it. I feel like I'd have to see how it aged, but I think it's really funny.
Okay.
I watch it as a kid. I don't know now if I look back if I should have watched it as a kid. But classic 1986 comedy. It was directed by John Landis, who did another, I think it was Spies Like Me, another SNL-led movie with Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase.
Mm-hmm.
But did you know, you probably didn't since you didn't see Three Amigos, originally, do you know roughly the premise?
Yeah, big sombreros. Yeah.
That's it. That's the premise. That they are three actors that get pulled into Mexico, people thinking that their movies are real and want them to defend their village.
Really?
Yeah.
It reminds me of Tropic Thunder.
Very similar.
That's
similar
so funny.
Vibes. This came first. Before it was going to be directed by John Landis, guess what director was tied to it? Did you see that part on that?
I did not.
Pretty big name, so it's not going to be, like, I'm not going obscure on this one.
Spielberg?
Steven Spielberg.
Hmm.
Originally was tied to it like 6 years prior, but his cast was Steve Martin still, because Steve Martin co-wrote the movie with two other people.
Mm-hmm.
Is it still co-wrote if there's more than two? I always think of co as like
two.
Shared.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Steve Martin, Robin Williams, and Bill Murray.
That would have been good, though.
So this movie's fantastic. This movie is great. I think that movie would have been hilarious. I'm curious how the roles would have morphed or changed because, like, some of, like, Steve Martin is the lead.
Yeah.
And Martin Short and Chevy Chase definitely bring their A game, but it is.
Right.
It, I don't know.
Those six guys in one room would be the most concentrated ADD.
Also, Robin Williams alone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you add those other guys. Also, if Martin Short did not, was not available or turned it down, his backup, John Landis's backup, was Rick Moranis.
I don't know who that is.
Honey, We Shrunk the Kids.
Oh, that's funny.
And Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rick Moranis.
That's hilarious.
I love Rick Moranis.
I'll have to watch that now.
I want Rick Moranis to come back.
Where's he at?
He retired to take care of his wife died of cancer. He had cancer. He took care of her. She passed, and he's just been raising his kids.
Hmm.
Like, one of those things where I'm like, oh, he's like a true, genuine human being.
Yeah. With super sad story, but I like hearing priorities. Like actors are like, I've done my part. I'm going to go be a normal person.
And he was huge.
Yeah.
Like, in the 80s,
right.
Huge. But I've seen a few actors come back. I don't know, Short Round from Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
He came back. He won an Oscar like last year.
I saw that, yeah.
And now he was in the Loki season 2. He's fantastic. And it's like he was in a gap of like 20 years of just working behind the camera doing different things.
Yeah.
He just didn't think he was going to act again.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, yeah, you need to watch Three Amigos.
I'll check it out.
You and Courtney should watch Three Amigos. It's a silly comedy, but I like it. There's one scene I want to show you, but I don't want to ruin it for you because if you watch it, it's more enjoyable to see for the first time like in the movie.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're like, oh, I saw this.
It's a comedy. I can talk her into it. She's jumpy. If you told me there's any jump scenes in there, she'd be like,
no, it is very much, it's just straight up comedy.
She'll sit in the movie theater and just read the spoilers of the movie.
Yeah.
And then she'll do like these pre-jumps. She'd be like, watch out, something's about to happen. I'm like, stop that. you're ruining it.
But yeah, so that's my fact. Three Amigos. Original cast was going to be much different when Steven Spielberg was going to do it.
Sounds like it would have been good either way.
I mean, they could make a second Three Amigos. The problem is Chevy Chase is a little more difficult to work with now, I hear.
Is he?
Yeah. He got kicked off Community. There's a hot sauce company that did a Community-based hot sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the label was a joke to Community.
Yeah.
I have to find what that sauce company was again, but I'm like, well, we have to try that sauce.
Yeah.
So, but no, that's my fact. Let's get into the scoring of this sauce. So again, this is a classic sauce, very classic in habanero, the vinegar, the garlic, the oregano. All those things work really well together. Chicken, like marinate for your chicken, put it in a salad, throw it on nachos, throw it on tacos. You don't need a whole lot because of the strength of that bite of the vinegar and the heat of the pepper. It is a higher heat. I had it as like a two.
I had two plus.
I'm reacting a little bit, but still is like in that habanero heat. The funny thing was when they did the March Madness bracket with this, they did La Muerte first and then this, which probably tamed this down. Because you did Reaper, and then you're like, well, now let's try this one.
Yeah.
So that probably helped where it's like, oh, this is like a sweet sauce.
Yeah.
Nothing else to it. And really, they don't have any, like, usually there's like a little sugar or honey or agave or whatever. There's no
sweetener in there?
No sweetener in there. Yeah. So the sweetness is the habanero pepper. I do want to, like, just cut up a habanero and eat it raw just to kind of get that flavor and try that.
Have you never done that?
No. No. I've cooked it and I put it in stuff, but I've never just eaten one.
Gotcha.
I know what a jalapeno is like.
We need to start doing that. Every quarter, we need to do like a raw pepper episode.
Raw pepper? Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those where it's like, do we just tag habaneros? Just tag a pepper? Yeah. 0 to 5 on the heat scale. You know, 1 is a presence of heat. 2 is a building heat. 3 is where you're really kind of reacting and, you know, sweating and snotting and all that. And then 4 is good pain. 5 is bad pain. Yeah. High 2. I think that's good. On our scale out of 100, I feel like it's been like a week or two since we recorded, so I just like to do a reminder.
In case you guys forgot.
All those new listeners, I think we gained one. Scale out of 100, anything above 50 we recommend to buy. 75 and above is something we would ideally have in our kitchen year-round if our significant others would allow us to. And 25 to 50 is kind of, you know, it's good, but not something we're not saying you have to go seek out. We put like generic grocery store ones in there. And below 25, not for us, maybe for you. We will never name the ones that we haven't officially tried on the pod that are below 25.
We should.
But we've had them.
We should.
We've had them. I had this as a 79.
I had 88.
Yeah.
I had a high. I like it.
So one thing I think with us, we really like, as much as we love the depths of flavor, like Lucky Dog and all of the crazy flavors that he can get out of a sauce, and Sam Sauce can do that. We also like how like Roddy from Faya or Amigos does very straight lined, simple ingredient list, clean. Sometimes it's just like, well, this is a classic one. And I like that. This is just me bragging about what I like about our show. So take that as for what you will. I like how both can be high scoring sauces.
Yeah.
It's not like, well, this has a lot of ingredients. It does a lot of work. This is a 90. This one, there's not a lot of ingredients. Pretty simple. 50. Like that's just, you can have, there's a reason we all grew up on very simple sauces. They were good.
Yep.
And then we've grew, kind of developed our palate, but we still like these classic ones. But no, it just has the right level. I'm gonna make a salad today. I was gonna do a buffalo chicken salad. Maybe I'll do this.
Chicken wings. Really good.
Ooh. I'm sorry, I just had a moment.
You like looked at the ceiling moment.
I just had an image of chicken. So Amigos.com is their website. Facebook and Instagram, also their handle is Amigos, Hamigos. So that's H with an Amigos at the end. Special thank you to Summit 6 Design, as always, for any graphic or logo design needs. Reach out to them. They designed our logo. Special thank you to Amigos. We had their sauces. We were going to try them. They sent us fresh bottles so that we could try, you know, the most current. You know, I don't know if they tweaked the recipe or there's any adjustments in the kitchen, but we're trying, you know, their sauces right as they are coming off the presses. I don't know. It's a weird, but we tried the El Clasico. We still have the Manganero. We have the Viejo Verde as well. Both look really good. Great colors. So special thank you to them. And special thank you to anyone listening. However you listen, we do appreciate you. Follow us on Instagram at the Heat Source Podcast for all updates. Send us a message on there or email us at theheatsourcepod@gmail.com for any feedback, requests, or other comments. And then tune again next week when we'll crack open another bottle. We'll see what it is.
Sounds good.
All right.
See ya.
Bye. We'll be right back.
So
I did it backwards. I usually do El Clasico by Amigos Hot Sauce.
I didn't pick up on that. What I was going to say was, you know the mouse from Space Jam, the announcer?
Yeah.
You kind of have that vibe. Where it's like I talk to you in your normal voice, and I'm not saying you put on a fake voice for the intro.
I should start doing that for the call. It's just more focused.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny where he like, you know, he sounds like a mouse and then he puffs his chest up and then it's like booming and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Good morning.
I've seen a few different like voiceover people where it's just like some of them it's just their voice and they're naturally just that's the way it is. Others it's where did that come from? I should start doing that on calls and be like, good morning, Mike. How are we doing today?
Yeah.